Let's do this. The Cult of Hockey podcast by the faithful and for the faithful. I'm David Staples of the Edmonton Journal, and I'm here today with Bruce McCurdy. Welcome, Bruce.
Hey, David.
So tonight the Edmonton Oilers beat the Winnipeg Jets 7-3, and we're going to go with our two good things, two bad things, and two stats podcast for tonight. Why don't you start it off, Bruce? What was your good thing? Lots of good things, of course, tonight.
But yeah, lots way more good things than bad things tonight. It doesn't seem right to have to do just one of each. But I'll go for my good thing. Just the fluidity and speed and puck movement that the Oilers showed when they took over that game. And I tell you, the puck was on a string, and the club was just flying out there. And the puck was zinging around, passes, just flying on the wheels. Winnipeg, I mean, of course, this was not the Winnipeg Jets. This was the Winnipeg Jets. And they were seriously overmatched. And especially when the Oilers dialed it up a notch, they just had no answer for that. And the game, as frankly predicted in my pregame post, was a blowout for the home side. And I'm predicting the same for the Jets in Winnipeg on Sunday, because the Oilers will probably send an equivalent team east.
Yeah, so I saw it was essentially the bottom half of the Jets NHL roster and the top half of their AHL roster is the team that we saw tonight. And yeah, I mean, we're gonna get a little bit more into obviously McDavid, Ratty, and Nugent Hopkins, but those guys, they just showed such chemistry. That line really was fine at the end of the last year. Now, McClellan has said that he's got to see that against tougher competition, which he expects to see at the start of the year, but that was certainly an auspicious beginning. You don't want to make too much of it, but in terms of a good sign, Bruce, wowzer, they were really moving that puck around like it was 1984 here in Edmonton, Alberta. That was very sweet. Ty Ratty, I mean, I've made this comparison before, like to Daniel Cleary, and I really see that, like the kind of the grit that he's exhibiting and the determination to succeed in Ty Ratty right now is impressive. My good thing, Bruce. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, good plays with the puck by Ratty, eh? In the neutral zone, just managing it and getting it to McDavid, or winning battles along the wall and coming away with it and getting it to McDavid. And two real nice finishes from in close. I mean, that's a lot of good things for the one player. But your good thing.
My good thing is actually, I'm just going to back that up, those plays a little bit, because the guy that got Ratty the puck on two of those occasions to kick off the goal, the goal scoring was Evan Bouchard. And I haven't been bullish on Bouchard making this team at all, Bruce, really. I haven't really seen it. And I'm still not there. Like, there's talk that he might play 9 games or 3 games. I mean, the Oilers got to win their games early in the year. They can't. They're not going to be experimenting with Evan Bouchard unless he can help this team win. And there's also a very good chance the Oilers will acquire another right shot to D-man, I think, if they don't think Bouchard can get it done, and then they need to move the puck better, because you know, they might not be so confident in Matt Benning and Jacob Yerebuk. On the right side, they might think they need someone else. And I think that they're probably right in that assessment. But tonight was the one of the first times that it might be Bouchard. Maybe he will get that spell and they'll see how he can do. Twice, as soon as he gets the puck, he does what defensemen should do. He headmans it. Yeah. And twice he headmanned it to Ratty. Once he really whipped the pass. Beautiful pass up. I said, wish the Oilers, I don't know why they, more of the Oilers team, don't do that more often, but, and I'm going to get to this in a little bit, but my good thing was Evan Bouchard headmanning that puck and just his general skill with the puck.
You know, Evan Bouchard led the Oilers in ice time tonight with 22 minutes and 50 seconds, which was almost 2 minutes more than any other player. Like, he played the game like he was the number one D man. I mean, judging by ice time.
He had some bad moments, you know, on the goal against, he had a bad moment. He's a lot like Justin Schultz was as a young player. Very good moving that puck, and you're going to see some defensive struggles is the truth. But Justin Schultz finished 11th in Norris Trophy voting in 2016-17, 11th. Mm-hmm. That's not bad. And if Evan Bouchard is along. If he's moving in that direction, that's a good direction. Bruce, what was your bad thing in the game?
Well, am I allowed to say Logan Stanley?
Man, no, did he have
a rough go of it in this game. I don't think we'll be facing Logan Stanley the next time the Oilers play the Jets. Well, maybe on Sunday.
I think you're allowed to. We shouldn't be too restrictive in these roles. And in a game where the Oilers dominated, if you want to say Logan Stanley, he had it rough.
He had a very tough night. Number 64 in white for the Oilers, I guess. Just that little lapse, you know, they had a 2-0 lead and things were sailing along and all of a sudden, bang, bang, and it's 2-2. And they just, let it get away from them for a bit. I agree with you. Bouchard's coverage was a little bit soft on the one goal on the edge of the crease there. He just, he didn't take the guy's stick. He didn't really have the right position. But if I criticize Bouchard's positioning on a goal against, I'm probably going to get steamrolled. So I'm just going to write that off as one of a number of things that went wrong. That's just more of the team lapse. When you give one up, you don't want to be giving up a second one within 70 seconds the way that they did. And it just got away from him for that little stretch of time. But
Nurse had a turnover in the neutral zone leading up to that goal. And he allowed the pass across too that Bouchard mm-hmm. failed to cover off. So Darnell Nurse wasn't exactly stellar. It's
overpaid. We're allowed to rip him all the time, right?
Yeah, well, he was also Nurse and Bouchard were also out there. My bad thing was there was a spell in the first period, Bruce, of 90 seconds near the end of the first period where the Oilers made 6 turnovers before they were able to get the puck over center ice in full possession. So in 90 seconds, 6 wow. turnovers. And it was the Ryan McLeod was in the middle of a lot of it. Kyra Bouchard and Nurse, especially. Now, Nurse, this is, he was rusty. This is his, he did miss a few days of camp, and he didn't look great, to say the least, in that game. Neither did Klefbom or Larson in that. There was a stretch in the first period, where the Oilers started to dip, and Jack Roslovic undressed Larson and Klefbom, and they also had some few bad moments moving the puck. So the veteran defenseman looked rusty in this game, but of course, let's put it in context. First game. What's your stat, Bruce?
Well, here's a stat for you. The Edmonton Oilers that had the least amount of ice time tonight, least amount of all the 18 skaters, was, drum roll, Ty Ratty, 10 minutes and 8 seconds. Ty Ratty. All Ty Ratty did was score 2 goals, 3 assists, plus 4, lead the Oilers with 6 shots on net. And he did a whole lot in 10. I mean, he got a point every 2 minutes.
Bruce, I'm still I'm still a little bit shell-shocked from that drum roll, I have to say.
Sorry.
I had to – everything you said after that, I just missed. Sorry.
I should use one finger, not my whole hand. Sorry, people. This after we resolved to cut down.
You're the John Bonham of the Cult of Hockey, man.
Yeah, there we go.
I do. Is that his name, John Bonham?
Steering wheel too,
Keith Moon.
John Bonham was Led Zeppelin, you bet.
Yeah.
Anyway, 10 minutes and 8 seconds, and he just had a dominant night, Ty Ratty.
What a great story, eh? Can do this, if he can pull this off, and mm-hmm. I mean, he's going to be on the team, and he's going to be on some line, and he's looking like a smart and determined hockey player, and you can always use smart and determined hockey players on your team. So,
well, he knows this is his time, right? He was interviewed the other day, and he sort of spent his summer saying, I'm never going to get a chance better than this, and I guess he came in. And, I mean, if he has a big year this year, and then he hits pay dirt, right? He's still in the low echelon, like he could be a hugely valuable contract if everything rolls the right way.
Well, just think of the motivation, for some, like you think about it, Ty Ratty, he's got to be thinking like, I'm just going to do everything. Like I'm going to go to bed on time. I'm going to eat all the right food because there could be like $12 million over 3 years at the end of this rainbow. And I've been working all my hockey life, and I was kind of maybe he's kicking himself. Maybe he made some bad decisions earlier on, but maybe he's turning that around. So my stat, Bruce, is again related to that line, and it's a very kind of Edmonton Oilers 1980 to 1988 kind of stat, and that's 11, which is how many points the first line got. Ratty 5, Nugent Hopkins 2, and McDavid 4. Does that do your heart well, my friend?
It does. It does. I mean, the Ratty part is a surprise, but, having more than McDavid, but he got a little bit, one was a little bit cheap that our friend Logan Stanley there misbobbled a pass to nowhere that Ratty made, and McDavid jumped on it, and he kind of got next. But all of his other points were fully deserved, you know. I mean, obviously, you pass it to McDavid, your chance of getting a point's a little higher than if you're passing it to Joe Schmo on St. Louis's fourth line. But the McDavid part, I mean, that guy, it's incredible how he passes the puck to himself, right? He goes up the wall, and he just chips the puck ahead, and he puts it in a place where the defenseman thinks, oh, I can play that puck. And just as he's about to dump it off the boards, McDavid beats him to it, and he's gone because the defenseman's now turned the wrong way. And he did that, I think, on at least two of his goals, or, you know, two of the goals that McDavid was involved in. And just the incredible speed and coordination of his attack. I mean, the goal that he scored, oh, man. Like he was going inside. Nope, he's going outside. Oh, puck's in the top corner.
You know, we've seen, it's not surprising to see that from McDavid. To me, the really thrilling thing was like 3 one-timers, Ratty and 2 by Nugent Hopkins, right? Like 3 just bang, bang, bang. And that's what's been missing on McDavid's line is the finishing. Like even Draisaitl, like we didn't see a lot of, maybe when they were when it was three on three, we saw Draisaitl score some one-timer goals. But at even strength last year, I mean, I think you can count on one hand the times that a McDavid pass were finished off by a one-timer last year at even strength. And we saw that 3 times tonight, twice by RNH and once by Ratty. So that's to me, like, that's the missing ingredient on that line, is people with the skill, the smarts, and the ability to score that kind of goal. And Nuge is, I think it's just like starting to dawn on Ryan Nugent Hopkins, like, hey, this could really work out. Well, he might get greedy, that guy. Ryan, he's Mr. Unselfish, might suddenly get selfish here, which would be a very good thing for the Oilers.
I talked about quick puck movement earlier, and you alluded to it with Bouchard clearing the zone with the quick passes. And I was thinking more of the passes through the neutral zone and in the attacking zone. I mean, the one power play goal they got, I mean, Winnipeg never touched the puck. It was a zing, 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 and in the net. And part of moving the puck quickly is shooting it quickly. When you do get it in the shooting position, let the damn thing go. I mean, really, both of Ratty's goals, including the other one set up by the very Marody. Impressive Cooper Marody, man. That guy had a night.
And, he did.
And he's had 2 nights. You know, he's played 2 games this week. He had 9 shots on net between the 2 games. I mean, both games he was a factor. And tonight his line with Alex Chiasson and Pontus Aberg, statistically, they dominated. Like, they badly outshot the Jets when they were on the ice, and they were in control. And really, it was the Draisaitl line was the one that was struggling, at least in the possession part of the game.
They certainly were. Well, let's leave it there, Bruce. Thanks for talking tonight.
Yep. 3 wins, 18 goals, David. 18 goals so far in 9 periods. I mean, these are obviously not NHL-style opponents, but the Oilers are already getting a nose for the net. And I'm liking what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a team that's starting to, you know, put their foot on the gas.
And playoff team, Bruce. This is a playoff team.
I've been thinking so all along. And I mean, McDavid, he's a wild card factor. Right. When he plays like he played tonight, the Oilers are going to win most games.
Alrighty. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And we'll leave it there for tonight. And in the meantime, and in between time, this has been another edition of the Cult of Hockey podcast.